Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, we were singing, rain, rain, go away. And on Sunday, guess what? It finally did. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here at the AT&T Byron Nelson in Irving, Texas. Welcome to The Grill Room. My co-host, Alex Bowtie Maselli, has been touring around Europe. I think he's finally made his way to Jack's Place, the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio, hosted by Jack Nicklaus. Despite the great spike in ratings we had because of last week's show, which I did by myself, I think Alex is back and we're glad to have him. How did you survive your trip, Alex?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure what you're using as a measure in regards to a spike in ratings. I can honestly not believe that. But even if it's true, you know, I'm very happy, but I can't believe that. My trip to Europe was great, and I was telling our executive producer Janice Self when I was supposed to be doing the show, I was somewhere between Berchtesgadens and Prague. And if you know anything about World War II history, Berchtesgaden is where the Eagle's Nest, where Hitler's little retreat was. And I was having lunch up there, I have a feeling, about the same time I was supposed to be doing the show. So that didn't work out very well. Not much internet up in the mountains of southern Germany.
Well, certainly, you know, we'll take one excuse. You know, you've been very loyal and been really in some exotic places around the world and yet always showed up. What was the highlight of the trip? If you had to sum it up, where would you recommend our listeners go if you had the opportunity?
Well, I mean, I was in Rome, Florence, Venice, and Prague. And what's interesting is every time I say to somebody I was at Prague, they look up and say, "You went to Prague? I really want to go to Prague." And so, and that was true today. I was on the range with Lucas Glover, and I said, you know, I went to Prague. He looked up, he goes, "Oh, my wife and I really want to go to Prague. What's it like?" And I was talking to someone else, the same thing. So everybody wants to go to Prague. I like Prague, but I really love Venice.
Yeah, well, I told you that before you went. I mean, to me, there's Venice and there's the rest of the world. I'm just a little confused. We got Lucas Glover on the range trying to win the Memorial Tournament, and he's busy hitting golf balls, and all of a sudden Alex Maselli walks up to him and says, "I've been to Prague."
Well, it didn't really go that way, Bob.
Well, I mean, that's what you said.
Saying, I said, I walked up, I was talking to Lucas, and he asked me where I'd been, and I just explained it to him.
Sorry,
it's only an hour show, Bob. I didn't want to spend half of it explaining my conversation with Lucas Glover.
Did you have your suitcase with you when you walked out on the range? How did he know you had been anywhere?
You know, this is what happens when you have conversations. See, things just kind of flow. I understand. You're not used to this, I understand, but I am.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, they did get the two golf tournaments in, Colonial and the Byron Nelson, and how they did it is beyond me. Congratulations to Scott Abernathy. He's director of operations at the Four Seasons. The job they did was simply remarkable. We thought for a long while that we may be staring at a 36-hole event, which is no longer official. Of course, when our man Neil Lancaster won the event in the mid-90s, it was official. The last 36-hole winner of an official event on the PGA Tour. But on the serious note, Alex, I mean, the amount of rain in Texas for the month of May, 22 lives have been lost. The people have, you know, had their homes and cars and everything washed away. It really was hard to think that a golf tournament was important, but the spectators were out in droves. The Salesmanship Club, which you know very well, did another outstanding job. That is quite an organization. I want to talk a little bit more about them later on in the show. But we hope that everybody listening in the state of Texas and Oklahoma and the other states that have been affected are somehow working hard to get back to normal. I mean, it was just incredible weather. If you had any time that it was a good time to be out of the United States, you hit the nail on the head. What did you like the most about Venice?
I just liked everything. I liked the feeling. I liked the people. I liked the just walking around, no cars. It's just a great experience. I just thought it was just a lot of fun. The food is terrific. There's really no bad food, I don't think, in Venice. And I just, you know, everything about it is great. I could see myself living there for a while. Maybe I'll be doing my shows from Venice in the future. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But, you know, Bob, to get back to what you were saying, it's interesting because I can remember when the Houston event a long time ago got completely rained out, where they had to come back in the fall and play like a one-day event just for the charities and things like that. But, you know, this is another reason. What I don't understand about the event specifically at Byron Nelson is that golf course has been there for a long time. And I understand they got a lot of rain, but, you know, it just seems like all the things they've done to that golf course, it just still is not a very good golf course. And this is just another example of that. I mean, they had to change a par four to a par three because they could never dry out the fairway and the hole. That's the first time I've ever heard that ever happening before. I just, you know, I hope at some point they get that golf course done that they're planning on south of the city and they move to a better venue. But I think that it really hurts the event to some extent by the fact that the golf course is not very good, and then you have things like this that just doesn't help it at all.
Well, it didn't take long for us to get into our first disagreement. The golf course, the quality of the golf course, it doesn't matter. You take any golf course in the world and you subject it to the amount of rain that fell, and I'm not talking only the total amount of rain, I'm talking at the rate that it was falling. I'm talking in excess of 2 inches an hour. There's no golf course that would have stood up under that condition, and only to have to alter one hole, which happened to be the 14th hole, a very demanding 406-yard par four, down to a, you know, they played it like a 108-yard par three. I mean, just because the fairway was literally destroyed with mud, and it wouldn't have been fair for the players. So don't be saying it had a lot to do with the venue. I agree. It's going to be a big move by AT&T when they get this golf course. Brent Crenshaw, Bill Kaur are building it. It's going to be located out in the middle of nowhere. The hotels that they're going to use are going to be downtown. It was pretty funny. I was talking to one of the Red Pants, Alex, and I said, what's the hotel situation? Because as you know, for the Byron Nelson, there are many, many motels all around the area. We stayed at a lovely Wingate where a lot of the caddies were staying, and you know, we'd meet for breakfast every morning and have some great discussions. But this guy said, oh, there's plenty of hotels just a few miles away for the media. There's the Ritz, there's the Four Seasons. I said, wait a minute, you're talking media and you're talking $400 a night? But they'll make it work. I'm interested in seeing. The course has been cleared away. They haven't put grass down. But I think, after talking to a lot of people, Alex, that the first time that they'll be using that course will be in 2018.
All right. Well, Bobby, you know, the Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started. When we come back, we're going to go around the world of golf, presented by the Coolbrella. You're listening to The Grill Room.
That's right. You are listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute as we go around the world of golf.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Let's start out by going around the world of golf, and where better to begin than Royal County down in Ireland and the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. And Alex Maselli, just back from his trip, not really around the world, but certainly to some great places. I know you hold Royal County down in high regard.
Well, I think there's a lot of players that had no idea what they were rolling themselves into when they went to Royal County Down and left there extremely, extremely impressed with how good that golf course is. And, you know, if you looked at the scores, just, you know, at the final scores each day, you could not believe the amount of high scores, low scores, high scores. It was just amazing. They're all over the map. I mean, a guy shoots 69 one day and shoots 77 the next day and shoots 75 the next day and then 70 the next day. You're like, how could this be? It didn't seem like professionals were playing, but it is. And that's just what you get when you play Royal County Down. If you get yourself in trouble, it can be multiplied very quickly.
You know, Alex, all you have to know about Royal County Down, so many great players have played it. The course record is 5 under par. And that occurred on a perfectly calm day, not the normal weather that they experienced. And of course, it played a huge part in this week's tournament. There were plenty of rain squalls and gale-force winds to deal with. Rory McIlroy certainly was the headliner, but he just couldn't get it all together during the week. He ended up missing the cut.
I wanted to come here and play well this week. Obviously, I'm playing at home in front of a lot of you know, friends and family, and you obviously got a lot of support out here, and to not play the way I wanted to was, or is, very disappointing. But you know, it's I'm sort of getting used to it. This is my third year in a row missing the cut at the Irish Open, and I don't know. I think it didn't fall in a great place in the schedule, being my fifth tournament in a row. But you know, saying that, you know, that doesn't really make up for how I did yesterday. I felt like I played okay today. I just left myself too much to do after that 80.
Alex, Ricky Fowler was in the field. He made the cut. Ended up in 30th. I don't know if that's considered a good performance or not.
Well, I mean, look, you're not going to win every week. You're not going to play great every week. You know, Ricky Fowler has had a pretty good season so far, in, by any measure. So, I mean, I think him making the trip over, getting himself acclimated, playing in the event, I think that was good, and 30th is fine. I don't have an issue with that. What I find interesting, though, is, you know, Rory McIlroy has always had a problem, it seems like, with Royal County Down. He was, when he was playing in the Walker Cup there, he really struggled, did not play very well, even though he was the headliner, even then, back then, at the Walker Cup. Now he goes back, he misses the cut. This is two missed cuts in a row for Rory, and you really got to start wondering what's going on with him. You know, he's not Tiger. And this is the difference, and I've always said this, this is the difference between Rory and Tiger. Rory, at his best, played as well as Tiger played. Rory, however, finds these times when he finds these lulls in his season, things that Tiger never did. If Tiger was the, you know, the ambassador for this event, and it was, even though he had all this stuff going on, Tiger Woods doesn't miss the cut. Now, he may not play great, but he's not going to miss the cut. Especially when he's asked all these players to come over to play in the event. So I think that's the difference. Now you got Rory McIlroy with two missed cuts. I'm not sure where he's playing next. He's not, obviously not Memorial.
Chambers Bay, next event, U.S. Open.
Okay, and that would concern me, quite honestly. I would be very concerned if I was Rory to be able to going into an event like that where a month ago I looked like I couldn't be beat, and now I don't know if I'm going to play well enough or not to even make the cut, because that's the kind of game I seem to have right now.
Well, that's true. There are a lot of experts or a lot of people that are interested in professional golf. There's an element of doubt creeping in because of the lack of consistency. I mean, a little while ago, as we documented on the Grill Room, that 61 at Quail Hollow, I mean, you shoot 61 at Quail Hollow, you're certainly playing some top-notch golf. Now he's missed the cut. Misses the cut badly. I don't think we should put too much into it. I think the proper time for you and I, Alex, to evaluate Rory McIlroy, maybe 1st of September. Let's see what happens at the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, and, of course, the PGA Championship at our friend Herb Kohler's place, Whistling Straits. So I'm going to hold off till then, and then we'll see.
Well, the one thing I'll say, Bob, is if you look at Rory's recent career over the last couple of years, he goes in runs or spurts. I mean, that's what he did when he won the PGA Championship. He won the Open Championship, Bridgestone, PGA Championship. That was a run. Then he goes in the FedEx Cup playoffs and lays an egg. Goes in this situation here where we talked about it, you know, he plays well, wins Quail Hollow, he's playing well. That's great. Now he's back down to is he laying an egg or not? And I just would be concerned. I mean, I don't think that's unfair to say. You'd be concerned going into a major championship, and my resume, most recent resume, is 2 missed cuts.
Well, in Rory McIlroy's defense, and I don't know how much we have to take this into consideration, I'm just laying it out there for our listeners. Rory McIlroy has a new girlfriend. And 26 years old with new girlfriends, sometimes very fatiguing. So I don't know if it has anything to do with it or not. Yeah. But I want to put it out there.
I don't know how you would remember anything about a 26-year-old girlfriend.
You're right about that, and I have no comment. Anyway, as it turned out, Denmark Søren
Kjeldsen.
Kjeldsen, that's what I thought it was. Well, he was the winner of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. On the first playoff hole, he was in a 3-man playoff. Who'd he go against, Alex?
Austria's Bryn Weisberger, who people may remember from the PGA Championship last year, and England's Eddie Pepperell. You know what's interesting, though, is Søren had a chance to win, Bob, and then he gave it up. I mean, played poorly at the end and got a chance to get it back, which sometimes happens. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. You know, was on that one at Wentworth. It's Kjeldsen that wins at the Irish Open. Neither of those would have really excited me if I was a journalist going over for the last 2 weeks in Europe, even though they were two really good events, hyped a lot before you got there.
Well, a great thing about the event, Alex, Rory's foundation is focused on raising funds for children's charities across the world, and was the beneficiary of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. So congratulations to Rory McIlroy for putting himself on the line to help the children that need it. Web.com Tour Rex Hospital Classic, and I want you to tell me, I mean, we have a winner of an event on the Web.com Tour for the third time. I don't remember anybody else ever winning a Web.com Tour event 3 times, because normally, if you're that good to win, you get to go to the PGA Tour. You're not still on the Web.com Tour. Kyle Thompson got the job done. But off the top of your head, Alex, can you remember anybody winning on the Web.com Tour the same event 3 times?
No, I mean, I think you're right. The fact is that if you win an event, you usually go ahead and graduate eventually the PGA Tour, and you hope to keep your card. Obviously, Kyle Thompson feels comfortable at the TPC at Wakefield Plantation, but doesn't feel comfortable at any of the venues on the PGA Tour because he's struggled to keep his card.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Let's give a listen to what Kyle Thompson, the winner, had to say.
I just never gave up. I just kept grinding. I kept my head down, just kept doing the best I could. I had total belief that I was going to win this tournament. I don't know where it came from. There's no reason to think that I would win this tournament, you know, based on my past results here recently. But I had a 100% belief, and it just felt so great coming down the wire today. It means I get to keep playing with a golfer for a living. I mean, it really does. If I miss the cut here, I'm looking for a job. There's probably a lot of people here that might hire me. I don't know, but I'm literally I'm at the end of my rope, you know, and so miracles happen. So
on the LPGA Tour, Alex Shoprite, LPGA Classic, presented by Acer, just held just outside Atlantic City, New Jersey. I've been there many times. The 6'2 Swedish Anna Norquist, who was a guest on our show when we were doing it from the merchandise show down in Florida a couple of years ago. She wins the ShopRite LPGA Classic. It's her fifth win on the LPGA Tour. And ironically enough, Sunday was Mother's Day in Sweden. And who was there at the event but Norquist's mother? And it was the first time she had ever seen Anna win on the LPGA Tour. And here's what Anna Norquist had to say after her victory.
The first time I went on the LPGA Tour, any one of my family members are there with me. So it's definitely special. And it's Mother's Day in Sweden, so I couldn't ask to give her a better present than to spend the day with her. I'm really proud of the way I fought, and I felt like I played really well today, and I put myself in a position to win. And like I said, I'm just really happy to be here.
Champions Tour? Well, they took the week off after playing two majors in a row. Speaking of Champions Tour, I don't know if you know this, Alex, but Andy Martinez gave notice to Tom Lehman that he was going to leave the bag. He's going with Zach Blair, a young player on the PGA Tour. First time I've heard of that, of you know, a veteran caddy like Andy telling his player, see you later. I'm going back to the PGA Tour, and I'm going with a real young guy.
Well, I mean, I understand that. I mean, you know, Tom does not play as much anymore. I remember talking to Andy about it. Tom's kids were growing up. He was focused on doing a lot of other things. He hasn't playing as much anymore, and Andy still wants to caddy. And let's be honest, if you're going to make some money caddying, the best place to do it, unless you have an ATM machine like Bernhard Langer on the Champions Tour, the best place to do it is the PGA Tour. And Zach Blair has got a little edge to him, BYU graduate, and it makes all the sense in the world. And I knew in talking to Andy earlier this year that he was thinking about making a change.
He made that change. We wish Andy and Zach the best of luck, Andy. All right, the AT&T Byron Nelson.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
It was played, as you know, at TPC Las Colinas in Irving, Texas. And as we alluded to before, nothing but rain. I mean, it was just amazing. On Friday morning, the water was coming into the media room. That's how much rain. It was 4.5 inches of rain on Thursday night. So you only can imagine what it did to the course. But having a media room flooded out because of the rain tells you what problems they were probably having with the golf course.
Well, you know, Bob, I remember in, I think, 96 at the U.S. Open at Oakland Hills. They had so much rain on that Wednesday that we had a bit of a river right through the middle of the media center, which is a little different because people that don't go to Byron Nelson may not know that the media center is actually inside of a building, inside the resort itself. It's on the lower level, but it's inside the resort. Obviously, at a U.S. Open, there's no resort. You're talking about tents. But I remember that, where we had this little river running through through the media center at Oakland Hills. And I'd only been covering golf for a little while, so I didn't really know what to make of the situation.
Well, I remember it very well. They were very smart because the floor was a plywood platform. So they got drills, and they started drilling holes in the floor and letting the water out before it got worse. I mean, and you know, and then once the rain stopped, they had enough holes in the floor, and all the water was out. At the AT&T Byron Nelson, Alex, Aussie Stephen Bowditch had the lead or a share of the lead every round and ended up by winning four shots.
On the final day, actually, a lot of people thought Dustin Johnson was going to make a charge, but he pumped one out of bounds. And then Zach Johnson raced up the leaderboard, Alex, but didn't have enough time. Charlie Hoffman played well, but Bowditch really held firm and kept everyone at bay and had this to say.
Yeah, this is a very special place. Amanda and I got married here at TPC, so this is unbelievable. It's really a pretty surreal feeling, and one that I guess I thought about occasionally, but didn't quite think that it'd come this quick. So it's a great feeling.
Bowditch was actually pretty funny. We asked him if he saw this win coming. He said, "Nah, it was more the fact that I was running out of money, so I figured I better play well." And then later on he said, you know, he loves winning in the state of Texas. He only has two wins, both coming in the state of Texas. And we said, "Why do you love playing in Texas so well?" He said, "Well, no state income tax." But anyway, here's Stephen Bowditch from Australia talking after holding the Byron Nelson Trophy.
It's basically the way my career's been my whole life. You know, when it's good, it's good, and when it's not, I'm just trying to hang on and make some cuts and get better and better. So, it's a game of golf. You know, I'm obviously not at the superstar level. I just go out there and do my best, and hopefully every now and again I get a chance to win.
Want to give thanks to the Chamber of Commerce for their hospitality while we were there. And we uncovered a jewel. It's called the Ranch Restaurant. I'd be hard-pressed to come up with a restaurant where the food was any better. I mean, it was amazing. And the director of operations there, Judd Fruia, we have to thank him. And 14 chefs, Alex, in the kitchen, all working at the same time. I love the fact when I walk into a restaurant and I see there's no wall separating me from the kitchen, so you can look right in as the guys are working, you get a pretty good idea that the meal is going to be good. Matter of fact, we're going to do an interview in the future about Judd. Have you ever eaten there, Alex? I mean, you've been to AT&T Byron Nelson. It's only a couple of miles from the golf course. I don't know if you've eaten there, though.
No, haven't eaten there. Can't say I have. But, you know, I might make it down there next year. You never know.
Well, if you do, I'll let you take me out to dinner there. It's a nice place.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Just a couple added notes to all this, Bob, in regards to around the world of golf. One is Drew Weaver, former U.S. Amateur champion, won the first event this year on the Canadian Tour, which now they're calling the Mackenzie Tour. And I think that's kind of interesting because now he's 28 years old. He's kind of had a hard time trying to find it. Never really been as long as he needed to be, but it maybe sounds like he's got his game figured out. So he wins up in Canada this week. And then also I found it interesting. As you know, I have a caddy that I use all the time at the old courts at St. Andrews. Her name is Heather Sterling, played on Curtis Cup, played on the LET. She caddied this weekend for Colin Montgomery, who happened to be at the old course at St. Andrews, and said to me he was a joy to caddy for. I never thought of the term joy and Colin Montgomery in the same sentence. I don't know about you.
Well, you knocked me for a loop on that one. I don't know what to say. I mean, I've dealt with both sides of Colin Montgomery. He certainly is in a better frame of mind now. He's won three majors on the Champions Tour, and it seems ironic as somebody that never won a stroke play event on U.S. soil, despite being one of the best golfers in the world. So maybe he's got a little personality change. Let's hope so. I actually walked up to him at Insperity, and he was on the range. And I said, Colin, I just want to say you did a great job at the Masters on Golf Channel. And he stopped hitting and he said, "It would have been better if I had your voice." So I took that as a compliment and we left. Next on the schedule, news and notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute. as we go to news and notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is proud to partner with the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Share exciting news about how you could win a trip to the PGA Championship in August at Whistling Straits just by thanking a golf course superintendent. Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter and recognize someone who has given you a reason to love this great game. Top golfers have gotten on board to thank a superintendent. You should, too.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, let's crank up that music nice and loud. Alex, back from his trip in Europe, loves news and notes, and so do I. Let's begin with the FedEx. It has announced that they will extend their sponsorship of the FedEx St. Jude Classic through 2017. Good news for the people down in Memphis.
Well, you know, you remember when they were the sponsor, and then they left because they wanted to be the sponsor of this umbrella FedEx Cup thing. And then they came back, and now that they're continuing to support the event, I mean, it is good news for the event because it's one of those cities or one of those areas where it's hard to get corporate sponsorship. You know, we've seen this in the past at Palm Springs and some other places. So to the biggest company in the area is willing to go ahead and continue to support the event, that's certainly good news.
All right, this one kind of surprising, just breaking almost.
Shocking.
Almost as we speak. Steve Williams back on Adam Scott's bag for the next three majors.
All right, so what does this mean? I mean, if you were looking at this from the outside in, Steve Williams comes out of retirement to help Adam Scott. Is this really the problem? Is Adam Scott's problem really the fact that he didn't have the right caddy?
No, but the way I looked at it, and you know, when I first heard that it was transpiring. Matter of fact, I was on a radio show just a little while ago down into Australia, and they asked me about it. And I said, this was just my opinion. I said, you know, Adam Scott has to give up that anchoring of that putter come January 1st. He's only got three more majors left with anchoring. So I think maybe he called Stevie Williams up and said, Steve, will you come back and work the three majors? And, you know, Chambers Bay, it could very well be an advantage to have a top-notch caddy because I understand it's going to be tough enough. And then Stevie Williams certainly would love the prospect of caddying at the old course in St. Andrews once again. And then the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits. So Stevie Williams coming back for three majors, but they're all going to be contested at very interesting places.
Well, that all might be true, but let's get back to the original premise. Is this the problem with Adam Scott's game right now, the fact that he doesn't have he needs Steve Williams back on his back?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't think anybody knows. I would say probably, logically, the answer is yes. He feels that way, or he wouldn't ask Steve to come back.
Well, I mean, I understand that there's a comfort level he had with Steve, but at the same time, when they split, most people saw that coming. Don't you agree? Most people saw that there was going to be a split between Adam and Steve. I mean, their relationship had clearly soured over time.
Well, speaking of seeing it coming, I don't think the people down at Golf Channel saw it coming when 3% of the workforce, I heard, you know, one release said about 30 people. Somebody on the end said it was much closer to 60 people. They're leaning more towards live golf news and the digital business rather than the pre-produced shows like The Big Break and Jimmy Roberts Show. Evidently, this was a Comcast decision. And I automatically said, hey, this is good news. Let's get my partner, Alex Maselli,
back on Golf Channel Live. I mean, how much can that be? Won't have to pay a lot for talent, and it'll be very little production cost.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bob, I think it was a Comcast decision in regards to, you know, the amount of money they were spending, the fact that they were making the focus now more towards the live golf and not against the pre-produced product. I can't say that that was necessarily a Comcast decision. But it just it's just a indication of how difficult it is in the media business in general now, not only in print but in television, in cable television. It is just a very, very difficult thing to do. And you take the Golf Channel, which is a niche, which let's look at it as a niche publication. It's a niche channel. And, you know, it's not like if they do something great, we're going to end up having all these other people watch the Golf Channel because it's so interesting. The amount of people that are going to watch the Golf Channel is pretty finite. It's going to be a certain amount, a certain group, and that's about it. So their numbers are never going to be off the charts. And, you know, when you get numbers like 0.9 or 0.8 for broadcast, it makes it hard to generate any considerable revenue. So I think they do a very good job with what they have. It's never going to really be a huge, huge, huge product. And I think they understand that as well. So they're trying to cut down where they can because they don't believe that they can actually generate more interest level in the product.
Well, that, you know, I just wish everybody that lost their job, I wish them the best of luck, and hopefully they get to pick up another job. The problem is, if you're working there because you really love golf, and then you get let go, as you said, Alex, there's just not a heck of a lot of jobs in broadcasting in the world of golf. Anyway,
you know, wait, Bob, I want to ask one thing and then I want to add something else. You're right. And not only that, you're in Orlando, Florida, which there's not that many jobs in regards to the media business. So you have to go somewhere else. There's the only way around that is to go somewhere else. So that makes it more difficult as well. It's not like you're in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. One thing I want to add to our news and notes today, Bob, is it seems like Tiger Woods, you remember him, used to be world number one for over 600 weeks.
Tiger now, who?
Now 170 plus in the world rankings, believe it or not, has been, as I understand it, walking around with club in hand at Chambers Bay over the last couple days, which makes it quite interesting. Both Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods over the last week have been to Chambers Bay.
When you say club in hand, was he playing or was he just walking with a club in his hand?
I understand that he was playing.
Oh, that's interesting. So some of the guys that really want that victory, here's something, Alex, and I'd like our listeners even to think about that, about this question. I wonder, you know, if you could have a computer evaluate who wants to win the U.S. Open more. Is it Phil Mickelson looking to win for the first time and complete that Grand Slam? Or is it Tiger trying to win that 15th major and, you know, having fallen from grace like he has to 170th in the world? I got to believe his desire level is pretty high. Who do you think, Alex?
Well, I think Tiger's thinking about winning it, but realistically, his chances aren't very good. So I don't think he's got the same motivation or the same interest level comparatively to somebody like Phil, who, A, probably knows after going around there for a couple days that this is a golf course that he can actually perform very well at. And B, he knows that his window is closing considerably compared to Tiger's, who Tiger always talks about the fact that he's got, you know, a lot more time left considering that he's only 40 and, you know, Jack won in 86 and Jack was 46 when he won his last major and so forth and so on. I don't believe all that, but the bottom line is Tiger believes that. So he has got a lot more majors at a competitive level than Phil Mickelson does. And clearly, Phil Mickelson at a competitive level only has probably two or three more U.S. Opens, and there's probably not going to be a better chance for him down the stretch than this one.
How compelling would it be on Sunday? Two tied for the lead as we begin the fourth and final round of the 2015 U.S. Open. On the tee first, there'll be Tiger Woods teeing off playing today with his fellow competitor, Phil Mickelson. I think there might be some eyeballs on those TVs.
Well, Fox would be very happy with that setup, I'm sure.
I guarantee you that. Hey, we can dream. Anyway, our feature interview this week is with Jim Blythe, a Vietnam veteran, and he hosts a show in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on KVCE 1160 AM, and they focus on the military, first responders, veterans, and firemen. And I discuss with him the issues pertinent to all those organizations. And as we are part of the Armed Forces Radio Network, we'd like to introduce this Alliance for the Brave to our audience. My interview with Jim Blythe is up right after the break.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute with the feature interview.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli.
Not often you come upon somebody that you put in that extra special category. Well, my next guest fits that to a T. His name happens to be Jim Blythe. He was in the military, served in the Navy, was a Vietnam veteran, and gave to his country so much while in the service. But Jim is doing so much more now that he's out of the service, in combination with an initiative with KVCE 1160 on the AM dial in Dallas. He's serving the Vietnam veterans and the first responder community. Jim, it's an honor to have you joining me.
Thank you, Bob. I really, really appreciate it. And you're a veteran as well, so it's an honor to, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, I was in the Air Force. Fond memories of that. But what you're doing now, special interest, the Heroes House. Tell me about that.
Heroes House is a good friend of mine whose wife has contracts with VA for home health care, got the idea of taking an old burned-out apartment complex and completely rehabbing it. And it's leased 100% to veterans who use the VA VASH system. So they're all homeless veterans. We have that one. We have two more that we've got going in Dallas. By the end of the year, we'll have over 100 units, which are exclusively for veterans that are homeless. So we're building permanent housing for veterans.
And, of course, you are the co-host of Alliance for the Brave, weeknights heard 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 1160 KVCE, one of the great stations, I might add, in the Dallas area. And I think you found the secret to helping veterans, Jim, because I found out from reliable sources that it's passion that is your key. And to me, whenever I come across anybody in any walk of life, if I see that they have passion for what they're doing, it gets me excited. That's why I was excited to meet you.
Well, I'm excited to be here. And yes, I am passionate about helping veterans. I'm also a certified senior advisor. I advise a lot of elder veterans. I worked with World War II. I've worked with Korea, obviously with Vietnam. Now working with all of them, the veterans from the Iraq, Afghanistan. I got to tell you, we can't do enough for these guys because they wrote a blank check to give it all. And many of them did. And many of them have come home in really bad shape. So I'm doing everything I can with my station, KVCE, Alliance for the Brave, in terms of communication and information, bringing people together, showing up at events, bringing people on to interview to give great information to the public, and then working with seniors trying to help them get VA benefits, get the things that they need to be able to have a great life. I'm passionate, you're right, about helping seniors and veterans. It's very important.
The veterans that served our country, as you said, they wrote a blank check so that you and I and millions of others can enjoy freedoms that, not every country in the planet has this type of freedom. I personally, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we do enough for our veterans.
I couldn't agree with you more. And these are people who went not only the extra mile, but they have incredible training, incredible skills, incredible abilities. I'm good friends with Dave Carey, who was one of the pilots, my pilots from my squadron, VA-163. He was shot down POW. John McCain was one of my pilots. Stockdale was our CAG flying one of our planes. We had five POWs. If you take a look at the roster of the POWs in Hanoi, you're going to find senators, congressmen. You're going to find leaders throughout the United States. And there are all kinds of top flight military veterans out there that can really help people, can add a lot to a job. I got to tell you, we got to do more. You're right.
Well, I'm going to end this by just saying something that I was given, and it means so much. And your mission is really not to give a handout to veterans, but a hand up.
You bet. Here to help, inform, communicate, train, make them all that they can be.
Jim Blythe, thank you so much for your time.
Bob, thank you. It's a blessing to be here.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
We'd like to thank the Wingate Las Colinas for hosting the Grill Room team during the AT&T Byron Nelson last week. And if your travels call for a stop in the Irving or Dallas area, please consider the Wingate Las Colinas. They've just undergone a total renovation, and not only is it a great place to stay, but the staff is absolutely second to none. Make your reservations today. Just go to WingateLasColinas.com.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli.
All right, Mr. Maselli, time for us to delve into what's next on the schedule. We'll begin by the European Tour. What are they doing?
The Nordea Masters played at the PGA Sweden National Course. Tungjai Jaidi is defending. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a letdown, Bob. I mean, after BMW and then playing the Irish Open, I'm sure the field is going to be a little smaller at the PGA Sweden National Course, but that being said, a win is a win, and I'm sure that's how Tungjai Jaidi felt about that last year. We'll see who's going to win this year.
Yes, we will. Let's go to the LPGA Tour. Man U Life LPGA Classic at Whistle Bear Golf Club in Cambridge, Ontario. Canada coming alive with a lot of golf, Alex, and last year's champion, NB Park. And she will be defending.
You know, Bob, I find it interesting about NB. She has struggled somewhat during this season. And, you know, you're starting to see a lot of different names show up on the leaderboards now. Younger players, even though NB isn't old, but some of the younger players, Stacey Lewis is struggling this year, can't find her way around the golf course at times. It just seems like a little bit of a different crop out there on the LPGA Tour, very similar to what's happened over the last year or so on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alex. I was thinking that myself. There seems to be a little flood of younger and different names on the LPGA Tour. And as you said, same thing on the PGA Tour. Just unbelievable. One thing about the PGA Tour, I forgot to mention it before, but I want to raise the point. There's a fellow out there by the name of Pickney. The 16th hole, Alex, a par 5, on that course at Las Colinas, and the first 25 people on the leaderboard all made birdie or better. Birdie or eagle is what I'm saying. He made a par, and he ended up in a three-way tie for second. He pockets about $500,000. Had he made a birdie or an eagle, which a lot of people did, let's just say birdie, wouldn't have mattered, and he finished in second place all alone, he'd have made over $700,000. It's hard to comprehend that one hole, one easy hole, and you don't capitalize and have it cost you that much money.
You know, Bob, I always felt like, you know, they always talked about you don't want to have golf courses where people are shooting, you know, 7 or 8 under on a daily basis. And I'm like, no, I think you do, because I think it's harder to make birdies on holes that are supposed to be birdied than it is to play a difficult course and make pars on them. I mean, you got one extra stroke on each hole when you're trying to make a par. You have one less stroke when you're trying to make a birdie. It's just numerically more difficult to make birdies all the time than it is to make pars. I don't care how easy the course is, and I don't care what the numbers are. And so there's a good example of you got all these guys making birdies, this guy doesn't, and it costs them.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, the majority of the players were hitting 5 irons into the green for their second shot on a par 5. So really, it was a par 4. So the way I looked at it, I almost have to say he made a bogey on that hole. Well, golf continues in the Greater Dallas area as they play the Greater Dallas Open at the Lakes at Castle Hills in Lewisville, Texas. Just outside of Dallas, no defending champion. That's a new event. It's going to be hosted by the Northern Texas PGA section. And actually, several players that were in the AT&T, Byron Nelson, will be playing in the Web.com Tour event. And an old friend, Bob Estes, coming off of medical, is going to be playing there. He had the opportunity to play last week. He actually has 24 events, Alex, in order to regain his status on the PGA Tour, and said he didn't think he was ready to go play the AT&T Byron Nelson. He wanted to wait till this week, and then he's going to try next Monday to qualify for the U.S. Open, playing 36 holes, but he does turn 50 next February 1st, and you know Bob very well, and he keeps himself in great shape. I think he'll do some damage when he gets out on the Champions Tour.
You know, there's going to be a new event on the Champions Tour, which was announced on Monday as well, that Steve Stricker's involved with. The American Insurance, which is one of his sponsors, are involved with. They announced it. It's going to be in Madison, Wisconsin, and it's going to be a brand new event, I think, in 16. So there seems to be a lot more new events coming out of the woodwork, which, you know, both on the Champions Tour and the Web.com Tour, because clearly on the PGA Tour there's no room left in the schedule. So now all of a sudden you're starting to see more of this happening on the Web.com and the PGA Tour, I mean on the Champions Tour, which I think is great. We talk about how golf seems to be a bit of a struggle at times, but if you look at it from the professional standpoint, it seems to be very, very healthy.
Well, you use the term coming out of the woodwork. That's probably what I was thinking when I was reading the publicity release on this fireside chat that's going to take place later on this summer, involving Ted Bishop, the former president of the PGA of America, Steve Stricker, Tom Watson, and Alex Maselli. What's wrong with that picture?
You forgot Tim Finchem.
Oh, Tim Finchem. Alex Maselli and Tim Finchem in the same room. I'd pay to be in attendance to that. Now, I want to wish you a lot of luck. You're helping Ted Bishop out at the he's hosting that Mulligan Open, and I understand a lot of people are excited about that. Well,
and they'll let you pay for a ticket, Bob. I'm sure there's still tickets available.
All right, I'll pay to see you. All right, we come to the Memorial Tournament, presented by Nationwide. That's where Alex is at. What's the early buzz, Alex, around the Memorial?
Well, you know, Bob, as you've been here enough, usually when you get to the Memorial, it means it's cooling off from what it was beautiful weather the week before. And with Jack Nicklaus flying in from Florida, he's bringing rain with him. And that's the plan for this week. It was like in the 50s on Monday and very cold. Tomorrow on Tuesday, it's supposed to warm up. But the forecast for the week is basically some rain every day, which is par for the course at Memorial. But I think what's important this week is that you're going to see Tiger come back from his last start, which was at the Players' Championship, didn't play very well. You're going to see Phil Mickelson start his run now. This is the beginning of his run to the U.S. Open. He'll play this week. He'll play next week at FedEx, and then obviously the U.S. Open. So that's big. You'll see Ricky Fowler and Ernie Els coming back from the Irish Open. You'll see Jordan Spieth, who has struggled a little. I was surprised in Texas that he didn't come away with a win somewhere along the way. And then you're going to see Steve Stricker show up on his schedule now of playing one, off one, playing one, getting himself ready for the U.S. Open as well, if he can qualify. So it's a pretty good event. Last year, obviously, we had Hideki Matsuyama win, but there's a lot of really good players this year in the field as usual, and so it's going to be quite interesting to see what happens.
And they give out two special awards every year, and Barbara Nicklaus is involved, Jack's involved. I mean, it's a very prestigious honor, and this year they're going to be honoring Sir Nick Faldo. But on the journalism side, a great friend, and he's been so helpful over the years to you, Alex, to myself, to the Grill Room Show, Doc Giffen. He's going to receive the Journalism Award for his service to the media industry in his career. He's been the media director for Arnold Palmer for so many years, and we don't have enough time to even come close to saying how much we have appreciated Doc Giffen over the years.
No, that's right. I actually gave the speech for Doc when he was awarded the Bartlett Award the Richardson Award, I should say, at the Golf Writers Dinner this April at the Masters. I gave him the award there, and you know, if you look at Doc's history, it's tremendous. And talking to him about some of the things which I thought were hilarious, before he took on the role of the media director for Arnold Palmer, he was in charge of the media at the PGA Tour, which sounds like an interesting job or a big job, considering he was basically the only person in communications at the PGA Tour when he was there. And he would have to go to every event. He would put everything in his trunk, drive to the event, set everything up, go through the whole week, put the stuff back in the trunk, get in the car, drive to the next event. He only had like a week off during the year, and that was when he was up towards in the Northeast somewhere. Someone else would come up that liked to do that event so that Doc could have a week off. So, I mean, you hear these stories about what it was like back in the day, and this is definitely back in the day, you know, that you would just go from tournament to tournament with all your stuff. You know, you didn't have media guides and this and that, everything else. You know, people used to give their copy to the Western Union guy who would sit there and format it and send it off by Western Union to the paper. I mean, you know, typewriters and everything else. The world is so different now. But when you listen to those stories, and Doc Giffen can tell you a lot of them, it's quite compelling.
Yeah, it really is. And getting that 1 week off a year reminds me of a modern day Doc Giffen. His name's Alex Maselli. Although it's not always work, it was pleasure on a great vacation to Europe, and we're glad to have you back, Alex, safe and sound. And it's very interesting to hear what a wonderful time you had. And you got Alex's recommendation. If you're going to go somewhere in Europe and you want to go somewhere special, you can't beat Venice. As a matter of fact, if you go to Venice and you don't like it, send a bill to Alex.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that almost to the end there. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, thegrillroom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and once again to Scott Abernathy, Director of Golf Operations at the Four Seasons. What a magnificent job he did last year. Also to the Wingate, Las Colinas in Irving, Texas, to Ion Loop, and of course to GolfWeek.com. So for Janet Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, I thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.